And so we're just two young newlyweds thinking she loved to cook. Neither of us had been to culinary school. We thought this will be fun. Well, we made a little menu, you know, started telling our friends and family. And then after a few months, it was like, I can't do two jobs. Like, this is insane. Like, I was catering like up to like 10 events a week, you know, smallish events for like 10 to 15, 20 people. A lot of doctor's offices. My best friend was a drug rep, so she kind of got me in. You know how that is.
That's how I started.
Yeah, okay, yes. So, especially back then, drug reps had these huge budgets on that they had to spend.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts. I wish it was still that
they
way.
They don't have... It's today we're talking to a lady named Ashley McMakin. So if you're in Birmingham, many of you will know her by Ashley Mack. She's got a bunch of restaurants here in Birmingham. She's a local girl that's, as I've done my research, she's very, very similar to me. She had a job out of college, then she transitioned into food. She's a lady after my own heart because she has a thriving food business, and she didn't go to culinary school, which is very, very odd in the business that we're in. So I'm excited to talk to Ashley Mack. Ashley, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I was talking, so a lot of people don't know this, is this is the first actual time I've actually physically talked to her at all. And so we've texted and emailed and things like that. But throughout the research, you are an incredibly interesting lady. Just as you look at like your Instagram and then you just, the questions that you answer, I am excited to learn more about you because of our similarities. So. Yeah. Local girl from Birmingham, yep. Went to Briarwood. One of the first questions I always like to ask people is, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grow up?
Okay, when I was a kid, I had lots of different interests, always was into sports, always into food, but my mom stayed home with me and my three brothers, and so I ultimately was like, I want to be a mom. I was, my two younger brothers are a good bit younger than me, so okay. I was like the little mama, feeding them and helping. And so I really envisioned that I would be a stay-at-home mom. Yeah.
So why'd you go to college then?
I mean, I'm from the South.
That's what you do.
Everyone goes to college. I didn't even think about it. My dad and my father-in-law played at Alabama.
Okay.
And so I'm like diehard Alabama fan.
Sure. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. All right. And I actually played soccer there very briefly.
Really?
So I was played my whole life, and my whole goal was to, I want to play soccer at a D1 school. And I looked at, you know, several schools, and Alabama recruited me, and I went there and also pledged a sorority. And then I thought, this is so fun. I don't think I want to play soccer anymore.
What sorority did you pledge?
Alpha Chi. Alpha Chi Omega. 98.
Where Stephanie and Vanessa work. So I was really good. Well, girl I went to high school with.
Okay.
We were good friends with her. And I can't remember what she was. Her name is Stephanie Roberts. And then this other girl who I was friends with named Vanessa Williams, not the Vanessa Williams.
Okay,
like,
okay.
And I was.
I might know their face.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. So, okay, so you talked about your family a bunch, and you've got a very eclectic family story.
I do.
So, we're the same age, graduated from high school, class of 98, let's go. So tell me about your family, your immediate family, about your family.
Yes, okay, so like I said, I'd always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and after I graduated from Alabama, I actually went to China with Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now called CRU, for a year.
Okay.
And came home, got engaged the day I got home to my college sweetheart. Wonderful. And yes, and Andy McMakin. And, you know, I was like, this will be great. We got married. I'm like, oh, we'll wait a couple years, have fun, and then we'll have some kids.
Sure.
And God had very different plans. We could not get pregnant
okay.
for several years. And that's actually in the middle of when we started Ashley Max. So I was in advertising right out of college.
Okay.
And then started Ashley Max. It's kind of basically a little hobby. Started doing cooking, catering for people on the side, selling cakes for my grandmother, her friends, very word of mouth. And so, and that is when we were building our family, or trying to build our family. And we ended up having two biological boys, adopted a little girl from China, and then we have two foster kids, which is a long story, which I'm happy to talk about at some point.
Okay, so you skipped way ahead. This is not, like, we've got all these questions here that are out of order, Ashley. Okay, so let's do this. The family piece is important because we struggled a little bit with fertility, not like that. But we had our struggles. So the fertility part of it is like first time we did the same thing. Hey, let's wait a couple of years. Hey, and we said, hey, let's start trying.
Yeah.
Hey, look, first time, this is a lot of information. The first time we tried, pregnant.
Oh.
And so we thought, hey, we got this thing
down. Yeah, yeah.
So we said, what about number two?
Yeah.
And it took over a year.
Okay,
and we started getting like, well, we had friends that had struggled, and so, and we had, you know, been talking to them, and so have a heart for people that do struggle with fertility, because it is a very internal thing where you go, what's wrong with me?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so especially with people of faith,
yeah,
it's a very difficult road to travel, because the Bible is very specific, very like, you know, there's a lot of biblical principles of children and all those types of things.
Right.
And so I can't imagine. How long did it take you guys?
Several years. So we ended up going to a fertility specialist and doing lots of treatments. And on the very last time that we thought, okay, we're going to do this one more round, we didn't do IVF and we couldn't afford it. And so anyway, when we get to that point, the doctor's like, this is the last kind of thing we can do until you move to that. And so we thought, okay, well, we're going to adopt if, you know, this doesn't happen. And then we end up getting pregnant. So
that's so good.
And he's 15 now. So yeah,
that's awesome. Okay. So let's do this. You go to China after college, and then you take a job at an advertising agency.
Right.
Tell me about that. Okay. Where did you go? Where did you work?
Martin Advertising in downtown Birmingham. Yeah. I do automotive advertising.
Yeah.
And a friend that was an Alpha Chi with me in Alabama, her parents owned it. And so she was like, hey, you should come interview here, you know. And I had a marketing degree from Alabama. I was in the business school. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of right up my alley. I thought this will be, you know, nice to do and for, you know, a few years. And so I go there and I was at a desk and I have a lot of energy, too much energy to sit at a desk all day. And so during that time was actually when I kind of started this little catering gig. It was actually called A Taste of Birmingham. It was not called Ashley Max, with a friend that worked with me there. And so we really started this like, hey, this is going to be fun to do like on nights and weekends. We'll cater for people. And word of mouth kind of got out. I'm from Birmingham. My friend was from Birmingham. Uncles, aunts, people started using us, have a huge family. They told their friends, and we really got into the corporate catering world pretty quickly. I was not interested in weddings. I didn't want to give up my weekends. And so anyway, so that's kind of, how it kind of jumped from advertising to that.
Okay, so I thought about this as I was writing these questions down. So what would you do differently immediately post-college if you had to go back and do that differently? I'm talking about that span of like, I graduate, not the China thing.
Right.
What would you do differently immediately post-college?
Well, honestly, looking back now, and I know you mentioned, you know, you didn't go to culinary school, and I do, part of that is exciting because it's like I've kind of had to teach myself and learn all these things. But now looking back, I'm like, man, I would have fun at culinary school. So I was like, that would be fun just to have, and to have a little more knowledge and industry knowledge. I would have probably worked in a restaurant because now that I know, once again, hindsight's 2020, but I still never
worked.
It
worked out pretty good though.
It's worked out. So that's what my husband's like, why would you want to go to culinary school? Like you're doing what people go to culinary school to do. Like,
and you're doing it great.
Well,
I mean, it's very, very difficult. One restaurant's hard.
Yeah.
Five's incredibly hard. Yeah. I can't imagine. So, okay. So you're working at the advertising agency and you're doing this side hustle thing.
Yeah.
How long did you do the W-2 and the side hustle thing?
It only crossed over for about 3 or 4 months when I started this little, I mean, we literally made our own business cards, like homemade little, total.
You keep saying we. Who is we?
Okay. I had a business partner at that time.
Okay.
And she worked at this advertising agency with me. And so we're just two young newlyweds thinking she loved to cook. Neither of us had been to culinary school. We thought this will be fun. We made a little menu, started telling our friends and family. And then after a few months, it was like, I can't do two jobs. Like, this is insane. Like, I was catering like up to like 10 events a week, you know, smallish events for like 10 to 15, 20 people. A lot of doctor's offices. My best friend was a drug rep, so she kind of got me in. You know how that is.
That's how I started.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, especially back then, drug reps had these huge budgets that they had to spend.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts. I wish it was still that
way. The regulations in the drug industry have lightened up on the drugs that they sell in the advertising. Here's what they haven't. They've lightened up tons on their budgets.
Yeah.
Because they used to could spend obscene amounts.
Yes,
of money.
We would have a drug reps call us and be like, "I've got to spend $10,000 in this next month. What can you do? You know, or whatever it is."
And they got to go spend it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can't take them fishing.
Right.
They just had to buy food.
Yes. Yeah. So that was kind of our end. So yeah, I would say it crossed over for a few months. And I mean, I was up till midnight cooking. This is how kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. So during my lunch break, we would leave and go to our houses, pick up, let's say we made chicken salad sandwiches.
Yeah.
We had made them like that morning, run home on our lunch break, deliver them to St. Vincent's or wherever we're going downtown, back to our office. Well, one day we were gone for like 2.5 hours and I get back and the boss calls me to their office and was like, hey, you know, we know y'all had this little other business and we support or are supportive of that, but you can't be gone for 2.5 hours. That,
yeah, and they're right.
They're right. And so of course now being an employer, I'm like, oh, that was bad. So bad.
Yeah. So how long? So you did it for 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, 3 or 4 months.
And then what was the transition from full-time there to like full-time Ashley Mack?
Right. Okay, so my husband is an accountant and he was at full-time at an accounting firm. And he was honestly the one that was like, hey, I think you should keep pursuing this. Like, people love your food.
Okay.
You don't love sitting at a desk all day. Right. You know, we're okay financially. Why don't you try this out? And I was kind of like a little probably more nervous than him, but he was like, just, you know, I think you should go for it. And so when I left, my partner at the time, she stayed a little bit longer at the ad agency, and then she left to do it. Well, she ended up getting pregnant pretty soon after we started doing this at home. And she was like, I'll keep doing this with you until I have the baby. And I was like, okay, great. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I'll probably get pregnant not too far after her. And then this will just be something we can do for fun. Total, that's all I'm thinking at this time.
Because in your heart, when you had kids, you were going to go be a mom.
Yes. Yes. That was the plan. So, and I thought, you know, this would be fun. Maybe I can do this still when I have kids, like from home, yeah. I can bake some cakes and, you know. So that was my plan, but God had very, very different ones.
So when the girl that was your partner, when did she exit or is she still in?
She exited about a year after once she had the baby. So it was like a year at our houses.
So once you left there, did you go into restaurant stuff or did you do catering?
Just catering. So I was still doing catering out of a tiny apartment in our in-home wood.
So you're still super illegal.
Oh, super illegal. Yes.
Perfect. Me and you both.
Yes, I would be like, tell my friends, like, don't post this. And this was before really Instagram stuff, but still, I was like, don't tell too many people because, you know, I don't have a business license.
I don't need
the health department coming here. But yeah, tiny. We had 2 like full size fridges and freezers in our apartment kitchen.
And, one
oven, me and my husband, one oven. We were in Homewood. And crazy.
I've been there.
Yeah. We would cool cakes like on my dining room table. I would put towels and then like speed racks like in my dining room. And
so let's just say how it is. How long till you were legal?
Oh, okay. I would say out of our condo, that was in 2005-ish is when kind of I started it. I was still working. And then we opened our first brick and mortar in 2007 in Bluff Park.
Okay. So you went from the on the side catering. Did you go into a restaurant or did you just have a space to do this stuff?
Just a space to do this stuff. So the Bluff Park store was our first store in Hoover. And my husband actually, he and his dad actually happened upon this little space that was like a tea room. And he was like, hey, has a big catering kitchen.
Where?
Bluff Park across from the Pig. It was the White Lily Tea Room forever ago. And so anyway, had a catering kitchen and we walked in. It was like, okay, this is nice. Like move this out of our house. You know, we'll just do catering.
Sure. And probably pretty cheap.
Yes. Oh, very cheap. Yeah. Had a tiny little storefront. Like you could maybe put 2 tables if you wanted to, but once again, we weren't a restaurant. And so what's funny is out of there, people would come in. We had a big awning and we kind of had a grand opening and like let people know we're here, but we're catering, you know.
Yeah.
But people would come in and be like, oh, it smells so good in here. Like, can we buy some stuff? I'm like, well, here's a menu. Like 10 people's the minimum. Like we're catering business.
Right.
Well, after a couple months of people doing that, we're like, maybe we should sell these people some food.
No!
And so that's how we got what we used to call Gourmet to Go. We rebranded recently. So it's called our market, but it's all the frozen meals, a chicken salad, and the fresh, you know, salads and things like that. So,
you're doing the catering. When did you make that store a restaurant?
We did not. So our first one, the next step was in 2010.
Oh, so 3 years.
3 years. Yeah. So 2007, it was just the market and catering. And then in 2010, we opened in Cava Heights, which is our first cafe store.
Okay. So talk to me about this. This is where the nerd part, and people are probably going to drop off because they don't like talking about this stuff. Were you making any money from 7 to 10 just catering?
From 2007 to 2010, just catering. Not much.
Really?
I mean, yeah, we were making money, but not anything like crazy.
But is it because of volume or because of margin?
A little of both. I mean, volume was getting up there, but of course I was hiring people. I mean, you know, I had probably about 7 employees at this time.
Yeah.
So we were making money, but it wasn't like we were killing it. I mean, yeah. You know.
See, the margins in everything that I've seen, most of the time, the margins in catering are more than they are in restaurants.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
And so
yes.
It's where we had a little spot in Tennessee and we were making money, but it wasn't like the waste out.
Oh, for restaurant.
Yes.
Oh, the margins are tiny on your prepared food that you're just doing straight out of it. Yeah.
And it's just like, I saw someone ask me that. I get asked once a week, hey, you got a restaurant? No, I don't. We just do catering.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, I sit there and I go, why did you not just continue to be the best caterer as opposed to starting a restaurant?
Sure. Okay. Here's how. So when we opened our Cava Heights location, we go in there and there's when we first leased it and we're kind of fixing it up, a huge catering kitchen. And in the front, they had tables and chairs because it was like a cooking school for kids. It was called Viva the Chef in Vestavia. And so they would cook in the back and then serve stuff up front. Cool. And so there was like a transaction counter, tables. Okay. So when we go in there, my husband was like, hey, what are we going to do with all these like tables up here and chairs? Like, should we just serve food up here? And of course I was like, you mean a restaurant? I was like, no.
I'm catering.
Yes. I'm a caterer. I mean, we were going to do the fridges and freezers for the market for the cakes and the, you know, all the stuff to go. And that was in my mind. I was like, we got this great business model, you know. But he was the one that was like, I think we should at least try it, you know. And, of course, him, the numbers guy, knowing nothing what it takes to, you know. Sure. He's like, oh, you can just do the same food you do for catering, you know, whatever. And so that's how, I mean, literally, I was on, like, the sandwich line the first day we were open. Yeah, like, okay, I'm making these sandwiches. And so, but honestly, pretty quickly, word of mouth grew, and it did, the cafe did become, you know, successful. So,
where was that in Cobb Heights?
Cava Heights Road on Green Valley Road, right behind Cava Heights Road.
Yeah.
By Midtown, across from Midtown.
I know exactly where it is.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
That was our first.
So from 2005 to 2010, you go from catering and having like grab and go stuff to having a full fledged restaurant.
Right.
Okay. So what was the number one marketing tool that you would contribute your growth to?
Ooh, number one marketing tool. Honestly, word of mouth.
Yeah.
I think people, which I know that's a, you know, can be a cliche answer, but it really was. I think being from here, using all my, you know, network of people, I have a huge family, you know, them telling their friends, my friends that were using me for catering for, you know, business things, them telling the other departments, like we got into Alabama Power, we got into Vulcan Materials, you know, and then it's like it kind of snowballed. And so, and then for the cafe, really, honestly, just the presence of, you know, a brick and mortar store is great advertising. Yeah. And we did very, very little paid advertising. I will say Southern Living reached out to me in 2012. Okay. And so not too long after we had opened that store, and did a piece on my grandmother, myself, and my mom. So I really attribute a lot to my grandmother, my mom. They're great cooks. And she's,
I want to say I've seen that.
You might have, I don't know. So my grandmother's from, they're from Mountain Brook, and she, you know, like I said, just kind of that whole neighborhood, people knew who she was, and then they knew I had opened Ashley Mac, so I don't know how someone gave them my name, I guess. And so they did a whole article on us, some recipes, a whole photo shoot, you know, so that definitely kind of springboarded. Yes, it helped. And that was, Southern Living was big then, as far as people were still reading Rural magazines.
Sure.
You know?
And they're still big.
Yes.
And they're still, but like, right. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, 12, 14 years ago,
yes.
It was a lot bigger.
Right, right.
Okay, so you have the one store in Cahaba Heights. What was the next step?
Okay, so next step. So Cava Heights, we had just had our first child, and so he was about 1 year old when we opened that. And so I'm kind of quasi in, quasi out, meaning we'd hired enough people like to kind of run it. I was not like in there every single day running the show.
Yeah.
My husband had kind of taken over a lot of the day-to-day, or like overseeing the day-to-day things. And once that became successful, that model of cafe, catering, and then the market, he stumbled upon a place down 280 in Inverness, and a restaurant that was going out of business. And he was like, hey, I found this other spot. I think maybe we should put another one. And at this point, of course, I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, like, we finally take so much just to get, you know, one going. I mean, I was definitely like, I don't know about this. Like, I don't, like, can we just have one? And he was kind of thinking about, you know, partly about going back into accounting or doing other things. And just this was going to be like our little kind of side gig.
Right.
And so, and I still want, you know, we had one kid. I came from a big family, right. Wanted a big family. So I wasn't interested in growing the company. Yeah, really at all.
Wow. Yeah, no, I mean.
But you can see who won that.
Yeah, well, but you meet people like that. Like, I've got a person I know really well. He owns a landscaping business and does a very good job.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah.
With where they are.
Right.
He's like, I could have 200 more customers, but I don't want them.
Right, right.
That doesn't equate in my mind.
Yeah.
I think he's crazy.
Yeah.
So.
But that's how my husband is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we get along. So you've got one store. Your husband wants to open a second store. So my next question is, how are you funding opening a restaurant? Because it's expensive.
It is expensive. Yes. So thankfully, we were able to internally fund it. Okay. I mean, the first one was successful. The one in Bluff Park, you know, like I said, it wasn't like we were making a ton of money, but enough to kind of feel like we could manage this next
pay yourself,
lease.
And, yes. Save some money.
Yes. Right, yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
So.
So what about the one in
280? Okay, so then we ended up finding this one on 280, opened that one in 2013. And so that one, like I said, I was kind of on the fence on, like, are we going to be able to do this well? That was my big thing. I'm like, are we going to be able to do it as well as the first? And so, but we were big on not going into debt and growing slowly and, you know, so.
Do you have any outside investors?
We do now.
You do now?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I want to get to that.
Yeah.
So store two.
Yep.
How does store two do?
Okay, store two does great. So it you know, took off fairly quickly. I will say we went into a location that several restaurants had not done well, but we did some research on the.
I'm trying to think of where it is.
It's on it's by Baker's Lamps and the jewelry place. I'm trying to think of what else is over there that you would know, but it's on Valleydale Road. So
oh,
right,
it's on Valleydale.
Yeah, right near Kohl's and all that. Yes,
I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So right there. So yeah, so that one did well. You know, I think the biggest challenge was, you know, getting good people because we already had to staff one store and then we're having to staff another store. But once we found some, you know, good people to run it, we were still out there a lot, obviously early on. But yeah, it started doing well. And then we put in another location a few years later.
Where's the other location?
2015 River Chase.
Okay.
So out by the Galleria.
I know where
like
that
on 31. Yep. New York to Zeke. He's out there.
How long did you run that one until you've got five, correct?
We just, Pizzitz. We just, our lease ran up at Pizzitz. We were at the food hall. That was our fifth one. And so, but then we're about to open in Brock's Gap. So we'll have five again pretty soon.
So you're going to not do Pizzitz.
Yes.
So correct. I can tell the story. So right next to you in at Pizzitz.
Uh-huh.
So there's your store and then there's that big, that sitting area outside.
Yeah.
Okay. You know the place on the front?
Yes.
That used to be an Italian restaurant?
Yes, it's been several different things.
We came this close.
Oh.
To buying.
Really? Oh, wow.
We did.
Wow, that's crazy.
We came very close because the people that were there just left.
Yes.
They left all their crap.
Oh, I remember hearing about all that.
Yeah. They left all their crap.
I think we looked at it actually too and after that. Yeah.
I was going to make it an event space.
Okay.
I do not want to be in the restaurant business.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like, I don't. Like, I did it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
But we were going to make it an event space and have those small, just intimate type events, but also use it as a catering kitchen for as
service downtown or wherever. Yeah. Sure.
So we, but
yeah, but unfortunately we opened down there in 2020. So
it
was a rough, yes. We had already signed the lease and everything. And then March 13th hit, and we were supposed to open that March. We ended up opening in June, but yeah.
Okay. So I want to say that you were under construction when I went down there.
Probably so. Yep.
You were because yes, I remember that.
That's so funny.
Did, so it was a 4-year lease or 5-year lease?
Yep. 5-year lease. Yep.
Was it just a total disaster?
It was rough. It was just, you know, honestly, I think Birmingham was like resurgence was occurring right before 2020. And I was excited about me. I'm from here. I love the city. I love the mix of people. I love that so many things about downtown Birmingham. And, you know, we were just pumped to be down there. We cater so much down there. We thought, oh, this is a no-brainer. We don't have to have that much staff down here. It's a small store.
Yep.
You know, we'll service downtown for people that want to come in and do this. But also, you know, maybe increase catering, people seeing us and getting it. And it just never took off, really, as far as, I mean, we were fine, but it wasn't worth it. I would say that.
Sure.
So, yeah.
It's, downtown is cool, but like there's two different dynamics. You've got Paramount.
Yep.
You've got Helen.
Yep.
You've got all Second Avenue that's bumping.
Right.
Tuesday night to Saturday night.
Right.
4:30 to midnight.
Right. Yes.
But then everywhere else, it's a lunchtime thing,
yeah,
and it's like a ghost town. So like, yes, Pizzitz is usually a ghost town after 1 o'clock,
yep,
2 o'clock.
Yep, yep.
And that, I think the people in the building are fine, but there's been a lot of turnover there.
Oh, yeah. To me, my husband and I were talking about it, I just don't think Birmingham can support a food hall like Chelsea Market in New York. I mean, we don't have the volume of people down there.
You got a lot of people.
You got to have a lot of people. So, and the, you know, the market's such a big part of our business, and we have much higher margins on our market items. And people, people that live in the building, of course, will buy from us, but most people aren't going to come in there to get their meal to go down, you know, so it's just
some
of that.
It's clunky, too. A food hall is clunky because you have to walk to it as opposed to Homewood.
Yeah.
Your Homewood spot,
yeah,
is gold.
Yeah.
Gigantic parking lot.
Right.
Walk right in, walk right out. It's wonderful.
Right. Yes.
So my next question was, what's the hardest store to open? And I would say downtown would probably be that. Am I putting words in your mouth?
Yes. No, that was hard in the sense of it not doing great. But, you know, looking back, of course, now, Cahaba Heights would have been our hardest because that was our first
one. You're learning.
I mean, you know what I mean? We're learning. Yes. Because honestly, by the time we opened Homewood, I had a great team. I was able just to kind of be like, oh, yeah, this is what we use for the booth. This is what we use for this, you know, and I had someone kind of in charge of all that. I wasn't have to be in there every day. You know, I was kind of approving things. At this point, we had general managers in every store. Early on, I was the general manager of all the stores.
Right. Yeah. Doing all the hiring, doing all the firing.
Yep, yep.
So which store is the most profitable?
Okay, Homewood and Cahaba Heights are they're duking it out right now.
Really?
So it's always been Cahaba Heights. That's our oldest, you know, location.
Sure.
So most loyalty for sure there.
Yeah.
But Homewood has done really well. So yeah.
That area of Homewood's wonderful.
Yeah. We love Homewood. It's just a great little, we do better in little neighborhoods and, you know, where there's businesses too, but it's very, you know, we do a lot of, you know, ladies lunches and things like that. So.
Where are you opening up the one in Brock's Gap?
It is in Knox Square, which is right across from the Met, basically, or right across from the turn where you got the baseball fields. Right. So down on the main.
You're across from Finley Center.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think Rock and them are opening up a salon in there. Salon 43-1.
Oh, okay. I think there is a salon in there.
It's Rock Salon.
Okay.
You know 43-1 on 119?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're opening up one in there.
I need to look at the list.
You need to know them.
Okay.
Like Rock and Brittany are wonderful. Rock is one of my best friends.
Oh, okay.
Business, they're really similar to y'all.
Okay.
So like she cuts the hair and does the hair.
Okay.
And he is like the business thing.
Okay.
So y'all need to go
that's
out.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that.
I did not even think about that.
That's
so
awesome.
So that's great. So I'm going to get you introduced to them.
Okay.
So what is the number one selling item that you have?
The number one selling item it'd either be our sour cream biscuits, our chicken salad, or some form of strawberry cake cupcakes. But volume-wise, probably the biscuits and the chicken salad.
Strawberry cake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just talk through this. So is the strawberry, I know you're going to know what you're going to say. How is your strawberry cake compared to Edgar's strawberry cake?
Well,
because they are a serious competitor.
And they're known for it.
Yeah. So tell me
it's
about
that.
It's
funny you ask me that because early on, like first store, Bluff Park, I remember everyone talking about Edgar's strawberry cake when I started making it. And my mom, it's my mom's recipe. She used to make it for us growing up.
Okay.
And so I've been, you know, had it my whole life. And my mom was like, you've got to start selling this cake. It was not on the menu originally. And my mom was like, you should sell my cake. You know, and I was like, oh, you know. And anyway. So
she said you should sell
my
cake.
She did.
I love it.
Yes,
love
yeah. It. Oh, yeah. She was like, and she was right. You
yeah.
Know, she has royalties for life now. So.
That's right.
Free cake. But anyway, but I remember people kind of talking about, oh, can it be Edgar's, whatever. And one of our employees, I think, who ended up bringing an Edgar's cake to Ashley Mack's for us to, like, taste test. And let me just leave it here that I felt okay about it after I tried both of them. And I was like, okay.
Well,
I feel okay about
this. I have not had your strawberry.
Well, I should have brought you a piece.
And I will have that as soon as I can. That's great. I've always said, we have had three sources of revenue in everything we did. So at one point, we were meal plans, meal prep, and catering.
Okay.
And then we went from a lot less meal plans to restaurant. This is in Tennessee. Restaurant, meal prep, catering.
Okay.
We come here. We have Highlands College because we do all the food for Highlands College.
Right.
Okay. And we have Meal Fit, Table and Time. And then we have vending too. So we kind of have,
okay.
It's not really four. I say all catering. So Highlands College, catering, and vending.
Okay.
It sounds like you have three. You have restaurant, you have market, mm-hmm. and then you have catering.
Right.
Break those down percentage-wise.
Yeah. So,
if you can.
Yeah, yeah. My husband would definitely be better at this than me, but because it does fluctuate, obviously.
Sure.
And catering was way up before COVID, and it is not as big of our business as it was before COVID. And so now I would say, but our market items are probably 40%, 30%.
Really?
Yeah, a lot. We do a lot of our market items. So that's a huge part of what we do.
You think 40% of your...
Maybe 30%.
30% of your dollars are grab and go?
Yes, yes. That's a huge part of our business. So, and honestly, it's easy because we're making that in bulk, putting it up there. Customers are buying it. It's not, the interaction is not as much as obviously
serving it.
They
know what they're coming to get.
Yes.
Hey, we'll go buy Ashley Max and get two things of chicken salad.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
30%.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
So tell me about the other. Are you 30, 30, 30?
I mean, like I said, I know some months we've looked at it or some, periods of time we've looked at it and it's been, oh, wow, that's impressive. Like almost equal, But then there's definitely times, like I said, I definitely know our catering is a little bit down right now.
January.
And then, but then cafe, 40, 50%.
I would have never guessed that 30%, 35% of your business would be the market.
Yeah, and I can confirm that with my husband. It might be a little more, but yeah.